Roll, please. Luke chapter 22. Summer is vacation time, traveling time. While traveling, a person can see all sorts of memorials that have been erected to honor and remember people who have contributed something significant to life, to our country. Some of the people, perhaps most of them, were great personages of history, such as Washington and Lincoln being the most known and probably in our history of our country significant. But none of these, even combined, could mean as much as the table that is set before us. Tuesday is July 4th, Independence Day, a memorial in itself to our country's freedom. We will have family gatherings. We will celebrate with picnics and other festivities. For the believer, it's an opportunity to remember what it means and to be thankful to our God for the freedoms that we have. There's nothing wrong for a Christian family to have a picnic on July 4th. As a matter of fact, it's a rather good thing. Sure beats sitting at home with a grump on. But you see, none of these, even though combined, could mean as much as the table that's set before us. It is indeed the Master's memorial. Remembering Calvary, it was the place of his death, the death of the greatest person to ever live, educationally, nationally, historically, medically, politically, religiously, in any way, Jesus Christ was the greatest person ever to live. Hey. Now, he still lives. We know that. He's a resurrected Savior. Those who would deny Christ cannot deny that history records his existence. Contemporaries of Christ acknowledged his unusual accomplishments. Yes, we know they were supernatural accomplishments. Sadly, then in Bible times, as today, they still do not personally believe in him. Calvary's cross tells of an atoning power. I'm going to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. And I'm beginning to read in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. You don't have to wait until you die to see if you're going to go to heaven. He tells us in verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. That's the end time wrath of the great tribulation and such events through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and indeed we were, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. You see, we have the future salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And remembering Pastor and how on some Thursday nights, he has individuals to share what Jesus has done for their life now. Amen. Right there, verse 11. And not only so, not only that we have been forgiven, that we have redemption, that we will have a home in heaven, we shall be saved by his life. And not only all of that, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Atonement. It's a big Bible word. Reconciliation. To settle, to resolve differences. if a husband and wife are having difficulties and they go and speak to a counselor or talk to the pastor or some other Christian who they believe can hear them and help them, when they do that and they work out their differences, what do? They reconcile to each other. That's atonement, okay? And we have atonement through Jesus Christ. We have the differences with God. What is that difference? Our sin. And we get reconciled. And then Calvary's cross tells us a redeeming benefit. Here in the book of Romans, this time chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Calvary's cross tells us about the atoning power of God to resolve our differences with him, and it tells us about the redeeming benefit. We have been bought by him, and we are now his possession. But this memorial also remembers the tomb, the place of his burial. In addition to all the sacrifice of the Levitical system, the death of Jesus did fulfill all of them. This memorial calls us to remember how he died and that following his death, he was buried for 3 days and three nights. That's what we remember. You'll take the cup, you'll take the bread, and you'll remember that he died and was buried for you. The personal place of the tomb within your life is important. It becomes an extremely personal matter. The place of his burial over there in what we refer to as the Holy Land, that tomb that we've seen in so many pictures and so many people that traveled to Israel have actually stood in. But it's extremely important for the tomb in your life. Not that tomb, that's geographic, but the tomb in your life. Look at the book of Romans still, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now if we be dead, if we have been buried with Christ, we have had our own personal experience of the tomb. The Apostle Paul said that we must die to self. We must die daily. We must have that power of God at work. And you say, what do you mean die daily? Well, what is it that you want that God doesn't want in your life?
Come on.
You die to that. You're alive to it because you're doing it. But if you die to it, you stop doing it. Dead people can't do things. Well, not physically dead.
Yes, sir.
Not physically dead. Spiritually. You say, I'm not quite sure I understand it. Tell you what. If there's something in your life that you know shouldn't be there, God doesn't want it there, you want to get rid of it, you begin to pray and ask God to help you to die to it. Okay? Now, you're going to have to keep praying in many instances. It doesn't happen at the snap of a finger. But you just keep praying. God, I don't want this in my life. I know this is not good for me. I want to die to it. And then you watch how God works in your life. He will work. You say, but I'm not sure. Can you not trust God? Do you think he would lead you into anything that would be hurtful or harmful to you? Of course he would not.
Amen.
So just trust him and ask him to help you to die to it. Death loses the sting and the terror. When we get a telephone call, so-and-so died. When it's a Christian, my usual response, if it's a Christian that's been living for God, my usual response is, well, praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Now, if they haven't been living for God, that's a sad thing because they died disobedient. But somebody who's living for God and they die, my usual response, I had it twice out in the back room here during the week, I just say, well, praise God for them. That's a good thing. And then this memorial of the cross is a memorial not only of Calvary, not only of the tomb, but it remembers the first Easter, the place of the resurrection. His power over death came through the resurrection. Nationally, Independence Day, July 4th, is perhaps the greatest event of historical significance for the United States of America. And that has brought good effect to other parts of the world.
Yes, sir.
But surely the greatest event of world history was the resurrection
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. A great fact of history was when the angel asked the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Christ arose. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, we read, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Now, let's just stop there. My daddy died when he was just 45 years of age in 1957. I have a grandfather and grandmothers that died and were Christians. I have many friends through the years that have died and were Christians. Right now, the pains of death hold their body. Their soul, their spirit is absent from the body,
yep,
and it's present with the Lord. But the pains of death are holding their body. But when Jesus comes again, the pains of death will be released because they'll be risen from the tomb. Now there's a picture that depicts the coming of Christ and bodies rising from the grave, okay? It's a whole graveyard and it shows bodies what we call floating up, okay? And being with the Lord. I don't know how we would depict it for you, but next time you go by a cemetery, just remember this, that when Jesus Christ comes back again, there are graves that are going to open just like that.
Amen.
The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. And listen to this. To meet them in the air, then we'll meet the Lord together. Isn't that a marvelous thought? We're going to meet our loved ones in the air. You say, well, how's that going to happen? There's so many. I don't know. God will work out the details.
Yeah, that's right.
If I can trust him for my eternal destiny, I can trust him to work out the details
of
how
that's
going to happen. You say, well, I got a mansion in heaven. Well, you know, that mansion is really just describing so many square feet. Well, you know, I don't know how God's going to work. I've read men who've studied this and are much smarter than I, and they've been able to show how it's going to fit for the millions and millions of people who've been saved through the ages, how it'll all fit in that holy heavenly city. And so I can, you know, but it don't matter to me how it's going to work out. It's just going to work out.
Yes.
And when we get to heaven, if it didn't work out like we thought it did, we're still going to be in heaven. Amen.
Yeah,
and a 2x4 room in heaven is going to be a whole lot better than all the expanse of hell.
Amen.
And so One of the greatest promises in life is in John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse 25. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Lazarus came forth. And someday, Roger's going to come forth. Someday, all who die in Christ will come forth. Now, that's a sad time for us when a loved one dies. We know they're going to be with the Lord. But it's sad because they've gone away from us. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, we sorrow, but not as those without hope. So we weep, we cry, we remember. That's normal. There's nothing wrong. It does not show a weakness of faith. Because there's the other part of us that knows that we'll see them. We'll be with them in heaven. And then verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Live and believe and you'll never die. Oh, this physical body will die, but not your soul, not your spirit. It'll be alive with the Lord. This is a memorial. The communion is a memorial to remember Calvary, to remember the tomb, to remember the resurrection, and to remember all of it. What? All of it. Geographically, in around Jerusalem, there is a mount called the Mount of Olives, the Mount Olivet, okay? And it was at that geographic location that Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples, and from that point, he ascended up into heaven. And we remember, you see, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. That's why we're going to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. They worship, but some doubt it. Now, he took care of their doubts for them. Don't get confused when you follow the Lord Jesus and you're saved and you're following Jesus, but there's some things you don't understand and you doubt it, or you doubt yourself, or you doubt is there. Look, what's it say here? And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He commissioned them. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. This is the same setting as we read in Matthew. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Picture it now. There, he's leading them out. There those disciples are. He's lifting his hands and blessing them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It appeared as if he just floated up. He defied gravity. Can you picture it? Can you see it? There in that hillside of Jerusalem, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were continually in the temple. Now listen, they had to eat. They had to go to the bathroom. Okay? They had to take care of crying children. Mothers had to feed their children. They did all of these things. But it nevertheless says they continually were in the temple. When we talk about continually being in church, it doesn't mean that you live here. It doesn't mean that you take your shower here. It just means that you're very faithful and you're in the house of God. Remember all of it. One last passage, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the same setting, only now as recorded in Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power, just like Jesus said they would. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, same setting, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He went up so high, he got into the cloud. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He went that way and he's coming back that way. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember that he commissioned us to be a witness for Christ, to give the gospel, and that he's coming again. Remember his promise to return. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we have recorded Jesus teaching to his disciples while he was on this Mount Olivet. And hence, it's often referred to in study material as the Olivet Discourse. It tells about his return. Now, I'm looking particularly at Matthew chapter 26. I said 24 and 25, and it tells about his return. But I'm wanting you to turn to Matthew 26, and in particular to verse 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus established the Lord's Supper. And in verse 29, he says that he will drink it anew with us. We partake today in the Lord's Supper, remembering all of these events in this Master's memorial. But he tells us there's coming a day when we will drink it with him.
Amen.
Okay? And it'll be in heaven. Remember Calvary, the place of his death. Remember the tomb, the place of his burial. Remember the resurrection, his power over sin and death. Remember Olivet, where we were commissioned to give the gospel, and he ascended. And remember his promised return for believers. Are you a believer? Do you know Christ as Savior? If you do, he's coming again for you. But if you do not know him as Savior, when he comes, you'll be left behind. The horrors of the great tribulation are described in the scriptures, and you don't want to be in the great tribulation. And there's only one way out of it. That's through Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, as Pastor comes and leads us in this Lord's Supper, we are thankful that in obedience to you, we are able to take this cup. And you're able to take this piece of bread and eat it and remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We pray in his name. Amen.